I've been looking forward to this since last Sunday. How many of you, when I say David and Goliath, can picture in your mind just kind of something about that story? And when you picture something, when I say David and Goliath, do you picture this big old giant guy and this little boy, and the boy's with a slingshot? Now, I grew up with slingshots, and ours were the kind that you did like this, okay? That's not what David had. David had this like long leather strap that folded over, and you put the rock in there. You could throw bigger rocks with his slingshot than you could with my little pea shooter slingshot. But I get the picture of him out there just whirling this thing, and then letting her fly, and then hitting Goliath in the forehead and dropping him down. That's the picture I get in my mind when I think of David and Goliath. But as I began to prepare for this sermon, there's so much more before that actual event. I've titled the sermon, Sack Lunches and Slingshots. And if you'll turn in your book, in your Bibles, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm just going to give you a little snippet of the scripture. It's a great story. You need to go back to start it really in chapter about 15 to really kind of get the full background and read this whole story. It's a fantastic story. I was visiting with a young man this week and was talking about the Bible and said, "Do you believe it's true?" And he's like, "Yeah, but some of it's some pretty crazy stuff." I said, "Yeah, it is. It is, but it's true. It's true." He said, I know it's true. If you find 1 Samuel, it comes right before 2 Samuel. It's in the Bible, back Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel. Okay? 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we've got the passages for the screen so you can read along if you don't have your Bible. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. How many of you get excited about that part? Can you say, "Let's run to the battle. Let's run and meet the enemy where he is." Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. Verse 50. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down this Philistine and killed him. Now, I'm going to read that verse 51 also. And if you have small children in the room, you can explain this when you leave. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from it the sheath. I imagine this is a huge sword, a big sword. And after he killed him, he took off his head. Now, it's there. It happened. And this was a magnificent victory. It was a symbol to all of the nation of Israel of who the victor was. I mean, there was no coming back from that if you're Goliath, okay? When you're in two pieces, it just doesn't work right. So after he killed him, he took care of him. And then what I find interesting is with his own sword. With his own sword. Now, this is not the last time that we'll see David with the Goliath's sword. There's another passage in the Bible when David took Goliath's sword later on. He took it out of storage and put it to use. But did you know that, I mean, with his own sword, sometimes you have to take what the devil brings against you and put it to use against him. He didn't use, I mean, he killed him, yeah, but he finished the job with what Goliath was bringing against him. He took it and said, "Uh-uh." What you, I could just picture him saying, "What you meant for evil, God intended for good." Anyway, it's a long story. Think about something in your life that you almost missed out on. And now that you look back on it, you're so glad that you didn't let something like fear or laziness or even other people keep you from it. Some of you, had you listened to other people, would not have come to this church. And I know that because I've heard people tell me that. And if that's true for you, see what you would have missed out on. Because even though we don't have a whole house full of people here today, we still worship. We still praise God. We still get on our face and we humble ourselves and lift high the name of Jesus. Had Rebecca said no when I asked her to marry me, let me tell you, she would have really missed out. Now, I'm not a big believer in regret. Okay, you know what regret is, right? Something happens, and then you dwell on it for a long time going, if I had done it differently, if I had not done that, and y'all probably can't relate to this, if I had not said that. Because sometimes words fly out of our mouths, and then we have an opportunity to regret. And I'm not a big believer in regret, okay? You know, I from time to time I make up words. I'm going to make up a new word today. I do believe in pregret. Pregret's a new word. Look it up. Google it. And on Google, when it says, when you look it up, and it, or Wikipedia or Wiktionary, whatever it was, and you can also, you can add a definition, you can put this definition in there, pregret. Regret says, I messed up, and I'm just going to dwell on it. Okay? I'm not a big believer in that. When I mess up, which I do a lot, okay, and I realize that I can't fix it, it's broke, and I can't fix it, then I move on. If I can fix it, I'll fix it. If I can't, I'll move on and get on, because I don't like to spend a lot of wasted energy, and I learned my lesson, okay? But pregret is the ability to look at a decision, admit that it would be a dumb decision because of all that would take place, all the hurts, the financial struggle, etc., and not make that decision. That is pregret. You have the regret beforehand and go, if I had done this thing, if I do that, there's an opportunity for regret. And since I don't believe a lot in regret, I'm not even going to go there. It's pregret. Pregret. Before the fallout. The story with David and Goliath, it had an opportunity to not even happen. It could have very easily not happened. I want to read you a little story that I ran across this very morning. Suppose a person went to their boss and said, "Boss, I know I've been doing a really sloppy job, but the reason I've been doing a sloppy job is because you haven't given me a promotion. And if you would give me a promotion, I would not do a sloppy job. So I tell you what to do, Mr. Boss Man. You give me that promotion, and then you'll see how I can really work." Not only would that person probably not receive the promotion, but that person might find himself looking for a job. And many Christians want to give God slop and then ask for blessings. Many are waiting to perform once the stage is set and the lights come on. That's when I will do my work. But I got to tell you, what we're going to learn this morning is it's in the small things that we learn. It's the small things where we grow, and it's in the small things where we prove ourselves worthy of the bigger things. A lot of people miss out because of disappointment in our lives. But sometimes, some of those disappointments are because of the things God has held back from us to make room for the things that He desires for us to have and ultimately need to accomplish the work He has for us. But because those things are held back, sometimes we have a little pity party, and we get down and we start to grumble. And can y'all say amen to that? It's easy to say amen when you're not living through it, right? It's easy to say amen when you can look back and go, oh yeah, I remember that time. And like the great theologian once said, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Wasn't that Garth Brooks? Yeah, Garth Brooks. I'm not sure he wrote it. He sung it. But I don't think he's that great of a theologian, but that's a pretty good. Because sometimes I do thank God for unanswered prayers, because had God given me what I really wanted, I would have missed out on what I really needed. Have you ever noticed that the way we explain something after the fact is often different than the way we experienced it? Maybe it's a failed relationship. Maybe it's a layoff. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's even the death of a loved one. But when we go back and we tell that story later on, remember last week I said, don't tell your story too soon. Don't tell your story too soon because you won't understand what God's purpose for it was. But then when you do understand that, then you got to tell that story. But it's at that point when we can look back and we can say, oh, I get it. And now I see. All that David went through and all that he did was building him up for kingship. See, he had already been anointed to be the king. And back in chapter 16, Samuel anoints David to be the next king. And that was in chapter 16. And now in chapter 17, David's still not the king. It was his time, it just wasn't his turn. Okay? It was his time, but it wasn't his turn. It was his time for what? Well, I believe it was a time for preparation. I believe it was a time for that growing. It was a time for training for David. But while he was waiting, like I said, he was in training. Some of you have heard God tell you something about your future, but you're not seeing God's prophetic word come about in your life just yet. And so you have an opportunity to go, well, Mr. Boss Man, why is this not happening? How come I don't have that promotion yet? Some of you have heard God tell you something about your future, but instead of doing the things you were doing when God called you, like tending sheep, like David was tending sheep, you pout because you aren't seeing God's prophetic word come about in your life. And if David had stopped tending sheep, he could not have told Saul about killing the bear, killing the lion. He would not have had the confidence, and he would not have had the preparation. He would not have been ready for Goliath. You see, so David was tending sheep when they anointed him, when Samuel anointed him, right? They said, don't you have any more sons? They said, yeah, the youngest one, but he's out tending sheep. They said, go get him. We're going to stand until he gets back. They marched David in, and God told Samuel, that's the one. Samuel anoints him. A whole horn of oil. A whole horn. Probably bigger than this horn. Anointed him with a whole horn of oil on his head. Anointed him to be the next king. Now, who was there? Samuel, the prophet. David was there. Jesse, his father, was there, and all of his brothers. And so they all knew what was going on there. They were there, they experienced it, they saw it. But if David had stopped tending sheep at that point, if he had just sat back and said, hang on, boys, y'all heard what the man of the Lord said, I'm the next king, so y'all just go out there and do all the work. I'm just going to sit here and bide my time, because there's coming a day when I'm going to be king, and y'all are going to bow down to me anyway, so just start doing it now. Get used to it. Practice up. You know, he didn't do all that. He went back and started tending the sheep. If you give up on your calling, you will miss out on your turn. Some of you will never get to your Goliath because you gave up too soon. Others will face their Goliath completely and totally unprepared, while still others have been in training, waiting for their turn. And when Goliath comes, they become the giant slayers. Which one are you? Which one are you? So now in chapter 17, we have this boy. Still a boy. anointed to be king, but he's out tending his sheep. And his father, who was there, remember when David was anointed, and knows what his future holds, he tells David to go and do this mighty, mighty thing. Look back at verses 17 and 18 of chapter 17. This mighty thing that Jesse says, son, future king of all Israel, I have this a very important and large task for you to accomplish. Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take also these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are doing and bring back some assurance from them. This great and mighty, important, this kingly task that Jesse has for his son, right? No. He's an errand boy. He's taking a sack lunch up to the front lines for his brothers who are there doing important things and bring back the newspaper with the headlines, right? That's what Jesse's saying. It's not this great, grandiose task that David is assigned by his father Jesse here in this passage. And David, notice what he did not say. He didn't say, what? Are you kidding me? I'm a future king. This is beneath me. We don't have those words recorded because David didn't say those things. David did what he was supposed to be doing. He was out tending sheep. Dad says, take this lunch to your brothers. Yes, sir, or whatever he said in Hebrew. I don't know how he said it, but he took the stuff and he went to the battle. I mean, obviously, he went up to the brothers, right? But he did those mundane, those minuscule, those unexciting, those unglorious and unrecognized things like taking a sack lunch to his brothers. Sack lunches and slingshots. Even in this thing, God was showing David how to serve. Now, we want God to use us for something, right? How many of you want God to use you for something? No, really. How many of you really say, God, I want to be used by you. I want you to accomplish something through me. But how many of us fail to be willing to do even the little basic things? I got to tell you something. You cannot handle greatness if you're not first built up from lowness. Okay? And that's what David was going through. That's what God was doing with David. You see, he took David and was building him up. Building him up. When God, all throughout Scripture, very seldom does God use the great and mighty, influential, well-established, rich, prosperous people. He uses the lowly. He uses the meek. He uses the humble. And he builds them up and he makes them mighty. He makes them mighty. He uses orphan boys named Moses. They can't really even talk good. And he builds him up. David. All throughout Scripture we find all these people. Mary, this innocent little teen girl. Right? And now she's favored among all men. The day that David stood victorious over Goliath, the day that he took that giant sword and, yeah, finished the deal, the day that that occurred, well, earlier that day, that same, very same day, he was taking a sack lunch to his brothers. He would have missed his turn if he had not been obedient in the small things. Now, what small things in your life is God using to grow you in your faithfulness, in your skills? In what way is God building your resume? You see, with David, he had a resume built. When Saul said, I can't send you out there. And David said, hang on, wait a minute. You don't understand. I've killed the lion and I've killed the bear. When they came and they stole a sheep, I chased it down. I rescued it from their jaws and I killed the beast. This giant, it is no different than one of them. He could not have said that had he not been obedient in doing the small things like tending sheep. It was building his resume. It may be the small things like raising kids. And if anybody's raising kids, you will know that that's no small thing. They are small, but they, you know, what they say, dynamite comes in small packages. That's right. It may be teaching a Bible lesson. It may be giving of your tithes. It may be helping the needy, or maybe going on a mission trip. It may be preparing supper. It may be sweeping the floor at home. It may be talking to a coworker who's going through a hard time. All of these things are preparation for something bigger. And it just might be on that same day. David had no idea. He was just taking his lunch, taking the boys to lunch. He didn't know that there was this giant. I mean, he got there and he was appalled. He was shocked. He got there and he was like, what's going on here? We got all the battle lines drawn up. This dude, the big dude, but he's standing, and he's defying the armies of the living God. Are you serious? And we're standing by a lake. Who do I talk to about this? This cannot be. Well, he was just doing his job. He was just doing what Daddy told him to do. And he got there and found himself in a position and in a situation to step up. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to face Goliath? Are you prepared to face the challenges that come? Are you prepared for that great day when you stand face to face with Jesus Christ? Remember, now was David's time. It just wasn't his turn. Now is your time. Don't miss your turn. Now is your time. Don't miss your turn. Now is the time when you can profess Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart and know that you are saved. Now is the time when God is using you and building you up to accomplish something great. It may be today. It may be tomorrow. Chances are you won't know it until you're in it. And then what? Either you're ready or you're not. I've been in situations where I was like, oh, I am completely and totally unprepared for this. I could have been, but I didn't. And now this is going to be really difficult for me. I've also been in situations where I stepped in and went, oh yeah, okay, I understand this. I've studied this. I know this. I'm ready for this. Bring it on. Give me your best shot. When I came to pastor here at Dolan Baptist Church, many of you know, most of you know probably, this is the first church that I've ever pastored. But I was called to ministry at age 19. I was called to ministry at age 19, and kind of I can kind of identify with David a little bit here, because David was anointed as this boy, and he didn't receive the kingship for many, many, many years later. But I knew that at 19 that I was anointed to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It wasn't until 40 that I became a pastor. When I think back about all those years, the jobs that I had, the situations that I was in, the opportunities to learn and to grow that God provided for me. When I stepped in here, I was like, oh, I'm completely unprepared for this, Lord. And He said, no, you're not. Don't you remember when? Don't you remember this? Don't you remember going through that? Don't you remember how you showed you were faithful in this? Don't you remember when you weren't and I chastised you and you became faithful in that? Don't you remember those things? You're ready. You're prepared. I've got great things in store for you. Now is your turn. You've done your time. Can you tell that story of your life? I've been prepared. You see, here's the other deal. Here's the other part of this whole story. It wasn't just David and Goliath going at it on the field. Because if you look back a little bit, the challenge was, Goliath said, you send your best man, and I'll send me, and we'll just the two of us fight, and whoever wins is the victor, and the other armies will serve the victor's armies. You see, so for Saul making the decision to send David in, for David going in, this was a huge thing on his shoulders. But he was ready. He was ready. He was prepared. He had been through some stuff. And he knew where to place his trust. All those things that you've been through, all those things that you may be going through even right now, are training us, teaching us where to place our trust, teaching us who to depend on, teaching us how to handle certain situations, building our resume. Goliath may come today. Goliath may come tomorrow. Goliath may come next year or 3 or 4 years from now. But don't waste this time in the meantime. Don't you want to stand prepared? I want to stand prepared. Just like on that final day, when I see Jesus face to face, I want to stand prepared. I want Him to look at me and say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't want Him to look at me and go, man, you missed out. You missed some really great stuff that I had for you. Matter of fact, there are people that aren't here today in heaven because you failed me. You failed them. You didn't do the part that I sent for you to play. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss that. And I hope and pray two things this morning. That you understand that where you are, and it doesn't matter if you're a youth sitting in the back. Folks, let me talk to you guys just real quick. David was he was your age, and he faced a giant. But he had also been busy getting prepared. Don't you let anybody tell you you're too young. This is your time. And it very well may be your turn. The rest of us, maybe we've been on the earth a little bit longer, but God has still got things for us. He still wants to use us, and He still wants to build us and grow us and teach us and train us, because your turn's coming also. Now, the chances are, the older you are, the more turns you've already had, right? But guess what? Those are still even preparation. I'm a firm believer that if God is through with you, He'll call you home. So if you're still here, if you still got breath in you, if your heart's still pumping blood, God still has a purpose for you. Amen. Are you prepared? Are you ready for it? The second thing, there is coming a day when we will stand before Jesus Christ. And are you prepared for that? If it was today, are you prepared for it? If it's tomorrow, are you ready? Don't waste your time. The altar is about to be opened up. Actually, our altar is always open. It's never closed. If the doors to the church house are locked, you have my number in the back of the bulletin. I'll come down here and open it up for you to get to the altar. During our service, it's never closed. The altar is open. I'll be here in the front. My wife, Rebecca, will be coming to stand with me. There may be others up here that you can come and pray with. Or you can come straight to the altar. Doesn't matter. But do we see this time in our lives as a preparation time? Knowing that we are anointed. Because remember, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you. You are already anointed. You're just not king. You haven't seen the fulfillment, everything come to fruition yet. But you're still anointed. David knew that when he went up there to face Goliath. He's like, do what you will. I'm an anointed king. I've got God on my side. Plus, I'm a good slingshot thrower. And I got 5 stones. It's only going to take one, but I got 5 just in case. Are you ready? Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. And Lord, I thank you for each person here in this room. And Lord, I know that there are some of our regular folks who are out today. But Lord, I believe it is no mistake and it's no coincidence that the people in this room are gathered just as they are. Lord, I believe this message is for somebody in this room. I believe it was for me first. But I believe somebody else needs to hear the message that don't waste this time. Be faithful. Continue the preparation work because the test is coming. And somebody else needs to hear that the test that you failed is not the end of it. And there are more tests coming. Now that you see the importance of being prepared, start now and get prepared. Father, we thank you how you teach us through your word, even through a story that is thousands of years old, like David and Goliath. Father, the culmination of the story was the death of Goliath, but that's not the whole story. The bulk of the story was in the preparation time. Lord, prepare us. Prepare our hearts. May you find us willing to go through that preparation time and not sitting aside pouting because we're not there yet. Lord, continue to teach us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? We're going to sing a song. And I just want to encourage you to respond to the Spirit. If you felt the Spirit telling you something this morning, honor God with that. Maybe just come to Him and say, Lord, I hear you. I've heard you, and I confess to you that I'm your man. I'm your girl. And I am going to be faithful to prepare. I'm going to be faithful to wait my turn, but not waste my time. Amen? As we sing, you respond.